Verse 1 through 8 will be our text for the morning. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. This portion of Scripture we would simply title The Birth of Isaac. The Birth of Isaac. And we see in verse number 1, the Lord visited Sarah. And the Lord did unto Sarah. I think that's most significant, because it opens up a window that we maybe have not looked for or looked through before. But we see here indications that God had made some promises to Sarah also, not just Abraham. And when the appointed time was come, God, Jehovah, the Lord, visited Sarah, and the Lord to Sarah as he had spoken. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11, says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah herself, through faith, received strength to bring forth that promised son, Isaac. We read in verse number 1 of our text, that as the Lord said, or had said to Sarah, and as the Lord had spoken, he had given his word to Abraham, had the covenant relationship with Abraham, but he also had made some promises to Sarah, had promised that at the appointed time, she would bring forth a son, that through Abraham and Sarah, the promised seed would come, and at the appointed time she bore that son, not just because of Abraham's great faith and because Abraham believed God, but Sarah was also a woman of faith, a person of faith. Maybe a weaker faith than Abraham, but we also see evidences that there was time Abraham's faith was a little bit weak. But she bore a son according to the promise of God. Now, last week, I talked about a woman being 65 years of age, and my wife heard me say things in that statement that I don't think I said, but I'll take her word on it. What I'm saying about this amazing thing about these kings wanting to take Sarah to be there in their harems and all this, The Bible tells us that when she and Abraham were both past the age of expecting to have children, when they were both past that stage, God said, I'm going to give you two a son. Okay, when did he do that? 25 years later. So the story begins with a 65 and a 75-year-old couple past the age of having children, you would expect. But God says, you're going to have a child. God even told them what the name of that child would be. And God waited, and he waited, and he waited. No, God didn't wait. God had set the time, and that time was going to be realized. And right on time, Isaac was going to be born, and right on time, Isaac was born. But 25 years after the promise of a son, we read here in verse number 21 of our text, the Lord visited Sarah, and the Lord kept his promise. She brought forth a son to Abraham when she was 90 years of age, and Abraham was 100 years of age. And I think there's a point in all of that, because God is impressing upon us how that there is nothing impossible with him. There's nothing impossible with God. He can take a couple that's beyond the age of having children. He can promise them a child, and then he can wait 25 years and have that child born miraculously, because there's nothing impossible with God. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. You see, it was a set time. We see the sovereignty of God, the magnificence of God, the greatness of God. Back when the story began, God chose Abraham, God chose Sarah, God set a time when they were going to bring forth that son named Isaac. And God knew all along when that time was going to be. Abraham didn't, Sarah didn't, and they questioned, and they made some bad decisions, but God was never doubtful. God was always looking towards that set time that God had spoken. And right on that set time, Sarah brings forth Isaac. Verse number 3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So much repetition as I read through the book of Genesis, and much repetition as I read through the story of Abraham and Sarah and God's promises and covenants and so forth. And I see repetition in this passage of Scripture. It says, Sarah conceived, bare Abraham a son when they were of old age, past that time. And Abraham called his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. So God repeats Abraham. God repeats the fact that God gave him a son. God mentions his name, and that name has been on the record book many, many chapters, going back quite a ways. And Sarah has been right there involved in the whole story, and it's all repeated before us. Abraham called his son Isaac, the son whom Sarah bare unto him. God called him Isaac. Verse number 4, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Not too long ago, God gave Abraham the circumcision. And Abraham, though he was an old man, had to circumcise himself and had to circumcise Ishmael, who was a teenager at that time, and all the men of his household, and they had to take that mark, separating them from all the peoples of the world. And on the eighth day, Abraham was told the male child will be circumcised. And that's what Abraham does on the eighth day. I remind you what I told you when circumcision came up. Jesus Christ was circumcised. Jesus Christ is seen in the Gospels as being circumcised on the eighth day according to the commandments and the instructions of God. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac on the eighth day as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. I think it's a different kind of a laugh than she has had previously. And the laugh that others would share is a joyful laugh, a laugh of joy in that the Lord has given them the promised son. Sarah has a son to fulfill the promise of God to Abraham. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear me will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. I have borne him a son at 100 years of age. Who would have ever said that? Who would have ever guessed that or made that prophecy? But God did, and God kept it. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And that would have been somewhere between 2 and 5 years of age. Most likely around 4 years of age. And there was a great celebration because of the child being weaned according to verse number 8. And what stands out to me in these 8 verses we've read this morning is not just a repeating of the settings and the circumstances and the promises, and not just a repeating of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and the repeating of their names so that we know God is keeping his promises. But I find in this passage of Scripture a repeated emphasis on the Word of God. The emphasis of the Word of God. In that first verse, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. As he said he would, God visited her. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. The Lord did what he had promised. God's word is sacred. God's word is perfect. God's word is pure. God keeps his word. And we can rely on his word. Over and over again in these verses, you find the emphasis of what God had said and how God did what God said he was going to do. And these things are all written for our learning. And these things are all written for our relearning. I think we as God's people in this modern age in which we live need to be reminded, and we need to be reminded again, and we need to be reminded again, and we need to be constantly reminded about how sure the Word of God is. What God says, God is going to do. There will be no exceptions. There will be no oversight. There will be nothing missed. God visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. At the set time of which God had spoken to him, verse number 3. Verse number 4. Abraham circumcised Isaac at 8 days of age as God had commanded, God spoke, and it was sure, and it was true, and nothing altered from that. God had told Abraham what he was to name the son. In chapter 17, verse 19, verse 21, in both of those verses, God says, you're going to call him Isaac. You're going to call him Isaac. And Abraham does what God says. What God says, what God speaks, what God expects is all sure and is all going to be carried out and is all going to be fulfilled according to his plan. Now the name Isaac, they tell me in my reading, means to laugh. So Sarah had laughed, maybe inappropriately at one time. Now she's laughing in a rejoiceful type of a way. And God says you're going to call him Isaac. And you're going to be reminded every time you speak his name that you laughed. That you didn't think it was maybe all that possible that you would bring forth a son in your old age. But they called him Isaac, which means to laugh. So Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. And Isaac is born unto them right on time, according to the promises and the commitments of God. Now, in this passage of Scripture, as we have pointed out before, I see in these patriarchs, these men and women of the Old Testament who were people of faith, I find the grace of God. We remember when we were studying about Noah, not all the people that God could have chosen, not all the people God would have chosen, he chose Noah. Not because of anything that was found in Noah, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God favored Noah, not because of anything in Noah, but because it just pleased him. And God chose Abraham. God showed grace, favor to Abraham, not because of anything that was found in Abraham, but just because it pleased him. And in Sarah, we find grace. God chose Abraham, and God chose Sarah, and God chose them to bring forth this seed, this son of promise, not because of anything that was in her, but simply because it pleased him. And we need to be reminded, as his people, we're saved. Rejoice and praise God. Praise the name of the Lord that we're saved. Praise God, we have an anchor that we've sung about. But let us always remember, and let us always remind ourselves, it's not because of anything within us. It's not because of any worth. It's not because of any value that God saw. But you're saved, I'm saved, we're saved, if we are saved. Because of God's grace. And let us give God glory. And let us give God praise. And there is never anything about grace that vaunts or lifts up. Really, grace humbles. When you really understand grace, it's humbling. People say, well, if I believe in what you believe about grace, I'd feel pretty proud and arrogant. I'd feel like I could do anything I want to do. Not if you really experience grace. Abraham and Sarah were what they ended up being, and what we read about in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 because of God's grace. Abraham was justified through faith. Sarah had to be justified the same way. The only way to be justified is through faith. We believe in justification by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing God and acting immediately upon that. Yes, we're saved by grace. It's through faith. But pause. And always say to yourself, grace. Nothing within me. God chose me. It's grace. It's through faith. By my receiving, my believing His word. And that faith, what am I going to say? That faith is a gift from God. There's no room for bragging or boasting or our arrogance or our developing an attitude when it comes to the grace of God. Not only do I see grace in the Lord blessing Sarah according to the fact that He had chosen her to bring forth this promised one, but again, I'm reminded that God is faithful to His word. We've spoken a little bit about God's word already this morning, but what I want us to get at this particular point is God is faithful to keep His word. God is faithful to keep His word. Verse 1 and verse 2, as He had spoken at the set time, God is always faithful to His word. You hold within your hands, at least some of you do, a book called the Bible, called the Word of God. And every word will be fulfilled. Every word is perfect and pure. Not a word in this book you have before you will fail. Man in his science and man in his knowledge and man in his opinion of himself and how he explains everything happens, it's all going to turn to dust and sand and be nothing in the end. But God's word will always stand. God's word is always true. And we can have full confidence in the word of God. Heaven and earth, I think Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, heaven and earth will pass away. But my word will not pass away. My word will not pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one point, not one little accent mark. Nothing in the word of God is going to fail. Look at what, I think it was Balaam in Numbers 23. Numbers 23, verse number 19, just reading these words. God is not a man. Man is fickle. Man is given to change. Man is unreliable. Man can promise and not do. Man can lie. Man can break. Man can void his promises. But God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Pause for the question. Has God promised anything and Him not do it? Not on your life. If He said it, it will be. If He's promised it, it will come. It might take 25 years, but it'll always come and it'll always happen on the date God had chosen it. God is never late. God is never early. God is always right on time according to His plan and His purpose. He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. If God has said it, He's going to do it. Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Has God said anything that cannot be 100% relied upon? Abraham and Sarah remind us, God is faithful to His word. In this day and age, in all of its ungodliness and wickedness, in man's exalted opinion of himself, in man's boasting in what he knows and what he's going to do, and the arrogance that man reflects, I don't think we understand what we hold in our hands when we hold the Word of God in our hands. God is always faithful to His Word. This book we hold within our hands. This book that several days this week you didn't have time to read. This book that many times you come and you go and you leave it sitting on a shelf somewhere. This book, at the only time we have to look into it is when we want to disprove something. This book is the Word of God, and God is faithful to His Word. You can read it, and you can believe it, because it will be. It will be. God's liable to say something to you. God's liable to make a promise to you when you're past any expectation of realizing that. And many a year will come and go, and you'll be drawn to question and doubt. But don't. God's going to do it. God always does it. It's always on His time and in His time. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. We want to pick up a couple portions of this first chapter. And I would encourage you to always take note when you're reading the Word of God that the verses of Scripture are not all sentences. They're not all complete sentences. Pay attention to the punctuation. Pay attention that sometimes when you're reading two or three verses, they're all part of the same sentence or same thought. It's not a good practice, and I'm trying to be better at it in these latter years, but it's not a good practice to pick up passages of Scripture in the middle of sentences and not after a complete thought has been made. But I have to, for the sake of time, kind of pick up here in the middle of a thought here in 2 Peter chapter 1. It tells us in verse number 3, according to God's divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What a promise. What a glorious thought. You think you're lacking something? You think God expects something of you that you don't have the assets to do? You think God is expecting too much of you? You think that God has somehow not given you into your storehouse that which you would stand in need of? Well, it tells us He's given us all things, everything we need, all things that pertain unto life, not just spiritual life, but this life. Not just this life, but living for Him, serving Him. He's given us all things that pertain unto this life, all things that pertain unto godliness. I just can't live a godly life. Yes, you can live a godly life. He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Stop excusing yourself and start claiming the promises of God. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us I believe, talking to saved folks, I don't think lost people can claim these things. Whereby are given unto us, you, me, us, exceeding great and precious promises. Now pay attention. Don't miss the glory of how God's word is written. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. Now that's what it says. But don't miss how it's actually written. Whereby are given unto us not just great and precious promises, but are given unto us exceeding great, exceeding precious promises, above and beyond great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, there's so much here. But let's just focus in on that. He has given you, he has given me, we who are saved, he has given us great and precious promises. No, he's given us exceeding great, exceeding precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? Well, I'm just going to leave it with you to chew on. The divine nature is speaking of God. The divine nature is speaking of the nature of Jesus Christ. Can we mortals, can we people in the flesh ever be partakers of the divine nature now? Here and now? Well, obviously we can. Because he has given us exceeding great and exceeding precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are you escaping the corruption that is in the world, or are you held in bondage to it? God has given us exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of that divine nature. And so Abraham and Sarah, because of grace, were given the promise of God, and right on time, they brought forth their son Isaac, named him Isaac according to the word of God, circumcised him, weaned him. Everything you find in these eight verses, they did exactly as God had promised. Abraham and Sarah learned, if they hadn't already, and I believe they already had, that God is faithful to his word, and we need to learn that. And Abraham and Sarah realized that God had given them many promises, and God kept every single one of them. God help us to just consider the wealth that we have in the promises God has given us. They're exceeding great and precious promises. All that God asks of us is that we trust and obey. When we're obedient, when we deny ourselves in God's time, not a single promise of God is going to fail. I think about this. I think about a lot of things. How that God gives us his word. God gives us his promises, exceeding great and precious promises. And God says, trust and obey. If you do this, I'm going to do that. And the thought that comes to my mind is, well, there's a lot of things that God says, do this and do that, that we're supposed to do, and we're to trust, and we're to obey, and he's going to keep his promises and his covenants with us. In the story of Abraham and Sarah, as we read in the book of Hebrews, there's a lot of things that they never realized in this life. And you and I need to understand that the exceeding great and precious promises that God has made to us, His people, He's going to keep those. And many of those, if not most of those, will be realized in this life. But there's probably some promises and some commitments that God calls us to have faith and to believe in Him, that we're not going to realize in this life. But I believe, sooner or later, if not in this life, in the next, God will make it evident to us He never failed to keep one of His promises. Slight chance, God's made promises, God's given you everything to do those things, and you need to do those things. Slight chance, you may not realize their fulfillment in this life. But one day when you find yourself in heaven, God's going to bless you and God's going to reward you, and you're not going to find Him having failed a single time. We are what we are by the grace of God. God is always faithful to His word. We have uncountable number of promises, and God keeps His promises. God help us to trust, and God help us to obey. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.